This is the Ninja Rob Podcast with Marco Perazzo and Tim Carpenter, the podcast for the true martial artist.
And we're back. Welcome to the Ninja Rob Podcast. We are coming live. We are coming to you live from the Fortress of Grappletude. Bosco's in the house. Marco was taking a nap earlier when I knocked on the door.
Where were you napping?
On the mats.
What were you using? The bag.
No, I don't. Who uses it? What adult uses a pillow?
You don't use a pillow?
Here. No.
Not in here. What is he going to have a pillow in his office?
I've used tie pads. I've used kick shields.
All right. This is the Ninja Rob Podcast. Greatest podcast ever. If we hurt your feelings, it's your problem. There's the disclaimer. We hurt your feelings, it's your problem. Marco.
Yes, sir.
First thing, last thing first. Well, not the last thing.
Right.
Fill us in on the talk from the banya, man. You know
what
I mean?
Oh, yeah. What did I say about so?
Foot juice?
Yeah.
Foot juice.
I'm in.
Is this an immigrant thing that they handle in a funny way?
No, I'm in the sauna. I ran into Tim there yesterday.
Nice. I was on my way out.
Yeah, so
on
I was
Saturday?
On my way in. Yeah.
Okay, nice.
I spent a good amount of time there. Anyway, in the steam room, I'm chatting up there with my new Uzbeki buddy.
Nice.
Who's telling me about his 14,000-mile trip around the United States in his Mercedes GL something 45.
Okay.
He told me he came to the United States from Uzbekistan, through Turkey, to Guatemala, up Honduras, through Mexico.
Is he in the caravan?
He must. You know what? That's what's going on, fam.
Yo,
they're dipping in. They're going into.
How was it getting over crossing the border? He says, I'm legal. First thing he said.
He said, I'm legal?
Yeah.
Then why'd you fucking come? Why'd he do all that?
I don't know. He said I had some sort of special visa ACP-1. I didn't have my phone to fact check him.
Right.
So.
Right. Nice.
So, as you know, I'm chatting it up with him, and there's a group of four people underneath the shower heads.
Right.
And they take the one shower head off, and they're playing around, spraying each other with it. So I say, you're spraying us over here, too. Okay. I'm like, okay, yeah. And then they get you get that hard stream once you take the shower head off. So then the one guy's spraying his feet with the shower head. And I go, I said, you're hitting me with your foot juice.
Oh, nice. That,
yeah.
Foot juice, brought it right back.
What kind of people were these?
Yeah.
I have Americans.
Yeah, what is it? Yeah. What does that mean, bro?
White people.
Because there's a lot of people. Like,
white people.
White people.
Okay. But I don't mean
listen,
color.
That
I mean,
sounds like some white people shit, though.
Yeah, I don't mean.
You just explain. And sounds like white people shit.
The girl that was with them, or at least as she represented herself.
Who knows? Right.
She goes, no, it's water. I go, yeah, but he's running it across his feet.
That's it.
Hence, foot juice.
It's foot juice, man.
It's foot juice,
I'm 100% with you, fam.
Yeah.
Yeah, keep your foot juice.
Foot water.
To yourself.
Really?
Nah.
Once it mixes with the feet.
I think juice comes from within.
Yeah.
Well, no, but the juice, the concentrate.
That's what's going on. It's whatever was in that's on the exterior, it's being carried. It's the vehicle. You know what I'm saying? Okay. So it's just like.
Okay. I could,
foot juice,
I didn't want to get hit with anybody's foot.
Nah, man.
That's a little. Yeah.
There's a lot of weird, when things happen, like, come on.
There's a lot of fluids getting thrown around in that place.
Yeah, and I get it.
Yeah, and you can deal with the sweat, that kind of shit, but like,
foot juice.
If you can mitigate foot juice, you should always mitigate foot juice.
And I mean, it's reasonable. I met Jeremiah Wells.
Nice.
Oh, nice.
Who's that?
Yeah, he was there.
Who's that?
He's a UFC fighter, trains at Daniel.
Jeremiah Wells, a bulldog. Not that? Okay.
Seemed like a nice dude, was talking to him.
All
right. And, he was weighing himself. I said, "Oh, so you doing a weight cut?" He goes, "Yeah." He's like, "I have a fight next week."
Oh, nice.
Just that and the other.
So he fights for the UFC.
For the UFC.
I think he's 4-0, 5-0.
Yeah.
What weight?
170.
And who does he train out?
He trains at Marquez Grayson. MMA.
Yeah.
Because I guess Daniel moved out. We moved to Vegas. We're talking about.
Oh, so Daniel's no presence in the area. Got you.
I mean, I think he still has a school. He comes back and forth.
Got you.
Once I mentioned that I had trained Tim Williams, man, it gave me a lot of clout with that guy.
Did it? Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Have they fought?
I don't think they fought each other, no. But Tim Carpenter's name? Nothing. Yeah. Like a dull bell.
Boom.
Yeah.
Who?
Like a gong. It was like a gong.
Who?
Yeah.
Who's that? You know what I mean? I heard somebody saying some shit about Timmy one day. I was sitting there. Some dude was, he didn't pop no shit, though.
Yeah, so we were talking in the changing room, and there was a guy that must follow MMA. And the second we started talking, he was like, his eyes just perked up. You could tell he wanted.
He fanned out
a little bit. Yeah,
got you. Nice.
Yeah, Jeremiah's last fight was amazing. He got dropped, I think, real early. It was like they both dropped each other, I think, like six right. times in the first round. And then six times total, not each. And then he ended up winning by decision. But
apparently he's a monster in the best guy in the room.
Yeah. Nice.
On top of being undefeated in the UFC.
Jiu-jitsu, and he hits super hard, and he's tough. He's just good all over.
Seemed like a nice dude. My first interaction with him.
Out of all the guys from Daniels that are in the UFC, he's kind of like more under the radar than Brady or Petroski. They get and Pfeiffer. They all have
But apparently he
tools him up.
So that's what word on the street is.
Now, just to piggyback off of that, mm-hmm. have you met anyone? Have you ever been starstruck by like a martial arts person and maybe a competitor? Or, you know,
the
like,
only time was I don't think bit, you would. A bit starstruck was seeing Hickson at a tournament.
Okay,
yeah,
right. But so that's a long time ago. Then,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, very long time ago.
Right. So, what about you, Timmy?
Seeing Al Bundy at the tournament.
Oh, yeah.
I was like,
that's cool.
17, the one in California. That was cool. And then seeing Fedor in a hotel in Vegas, that was the only time I was like, I got a picture. I was like, hey, man, can I get a picture with you?
Yeah.
He was like in a lounge. Like we were walking by and he was just like sitting in this like little lounge area. And I asked him to get a picture. Nice. That was the only time.
Yeah, I never got close enough to kind of get stuck because I saw, what's my man, Ken Shamrock. He was in AC. This was when they did the thing
at
the top.
My friend's father met him in Puerto Rico, kept calling him Kenny Peacock.
I love that kind of shit, son. I saw him walking through, and then Randleman. Randleman looked like a loose pit bull. Like, he was just like, he was getting ready. I guess that was the day. Did he lose to Randy Couture that day? Whatever it was. And he's just like, he has headphones. He's like running through the thing. Yo, I don't know. He's cutting weight.
The old Hammer House days.
Yo, yeah. And then a couple times. Then remember that event we went to in Valley Forge? The guy that gave John Jones the L. He was there.
Matt Hamill,
right? He's like hearing impaired. That kid.
Yeah, he's deaf. Yeah.
And then someone else was. I think there was another guy there that same night. So, how about starstruck celebrities? Like anyone.
Not really, no, nothing where I'd be like, oh my God, that's so-and-so.
Gotcha.
We saw World Wide West at the...
I did. I said something to World Wide West. We
were
that's all, funny.
I mean, I didn't know where who
were
was,
we?
But...
Because we just talked about this.
Yeah, but you guys were starstruck.
He wasn't.
Told me
first
who
of all,
was.
Marco I mean, fucking never gets starstruck. Marco seems like he's ready to insult at all times. Like, he's ready, like... You know what I mean? Not necessarily, but like, you were like, who's that? Like, it was just like one of those things. I was like, oh shit. You know, because I know who this guy. I know who this guy
is. Yeah, and he's a big player in the NBA space.
He was. Yeah, he was. Now he's a VP for the Knicks.
Yeah. So still a big player.
Sorry, he is a very big, very big deal in that thing. But he's a local guy. That's why I thought it was pretty interesting.
Basically selling sneakers.
Method Man.
I saw Method Man at Cherry Hill Mall years ago.
What do you mean? We starstruck doesn't mean you're like, holy shit.
Nah, like, we weren't
just,
like that.
You're just like, oh shit, there's a celebrity.
And then when we walked up, it was like, yo, that was
no,
so neat.
Starstruck
that was so
is like, oh my God.
Starstruck is when you're like, you can't say anything. You're like, the first time I met Guy Fieri at a
It's more like starstruck.
Starstruck, okay.
But yeah, starstruck's a good one.
Yeah.
And I saw Fieri and I tapped my man. I was like, yo, there's your boy. And he went over to talk to him and there was people surrounding him and shit like that.
Not to be confused with starstruck.
Yeah. Just moving saying. On. So that was the only time. Then we were sitting there having lunch, and he asked me a question. And I kind of got I'm sitting here with this dude. So that's the only time. And I saw Kanye West one time. I didn't. 2 Chainz. Kanye West, I was upset. We were just
Which
stuck
version
in traffic.
Of Kanye West did you?
It was an old version of Kanye West.
2.3?
Maybe. Who knows? I don't know where we are. Where we are now. Let's talk about some fighting.
Yes. You know
what I mean? UFC. One,
did
what
we
was
make
it? 290.
We did you make know, predictions we on. We made predictions on the boxing.
On
thing.
The boxing,
we did, yeah, we were all right.
So you
want to
start
boxing.
That one?
Sure.
We were all. But for some reason, I had this really weird suspicion. I was just like, maybe I'm counting Spence out. So last night when I went to go watch it, I bet my buddy $20 lost $20 on.
Did you watch from round one?
Yes,
because I picked it up at round five because I was watching the UFC.
It's basically.
I heard the first round was Spence looked okay. He could. They had that. If he won any round, it was the first.
Maybe
round.
He did. Yeah. But it was so insignificant that it was almost like whatever. He won it purely on his movement and moving forward. That kind of shit.
It looked like a boxing fight where one guy. It looked like a tune-up fight for Buck
Crawford.
Bro,
it was crazy. It was crazy. And I said last time when we made this prediction a couple of weeks ago, I said he's never been the same since the accident. But bro. he didn't win that round. You could give it to him, but other than that, he didn't win anything. Anything.
And he made Errol Spence look terrible.
Yes. Yeah.
And there are people on Instagram telling Errol Spence, like, yeah, I don't think boxing's for you.
Yo, listen, man. Like, I don't know if that's it, but maybe I thought maybe he should retire. He's going to keep fighting.
They're both undefeated, right? Or they were undefeated.
Yeah. He's going to keep fighting. But after the accident, I mean, I don't know if there was some issues that they've never really talked about as but he's still, trying man, to get he's this like, payday.
Regardless of all man. That, to make, you know, Bud Crawford is just that good.
Let me tell you, the entire week, I was like, maybe I'm wrong. I said, I'm counting Spence out. And then I was just like, oh, maybe Bud hasn't fought anybody, Spence, you know. And then, bam, man, I was right. My first guess was right.
Crawford's not young. He's like 34.
Right. He's actually older than Spence.
Yeah.
He's a couple years older than Spence. So it's super interesting. And it was
just the amazing, impressive part for me for Crawford was just his accuracy. Everything he threw landed. It didn't matter.
Yeah. At one point, my mom was like, I didn't even see that one.
And how did he hit it with that? All crisp and tight and just beautiful. Yeah. And Spence looked like he should have been on the undercard.
Mm-hmm.
I just saw the finish, and it looked to me. So had he dropped him before that?
He had dropped three times.
Okay, so he was getting beat up.
There was a 10-7 round.
That's one of the analyst guys.
Because the finish, it seemed like I didn't see anything. I just it seemed like pretty premature, but
no.
He knocked him down in its entirety, completely right. Even after picking it up from the fifth round, you watch it from the first round. But it was.
I just saw the last punch that finished.
Nah, man, it was literally like he really.
But if he dropped won him no three round. Times, that makes sense.
I would not have been surprised after that 10-7 round, if his corner would have stopped it.
We were all thinking that. One dude was like made the prediction on the seventh. He thought the seventh was over, but he dropped him three times, twice in one, and then once in the second. So that was 10-8 right there.
It might have been one of the best nights for combat sports ever,
bro. You know, it's funny. I totally forgot about the UFC, but moving into the UFC.
Some of these UFC fights were amazing.
They were all great. Yeah.
Full card.
So the Errol Spence. Bud Crawford fight wasn't a great fight.
No.
It was a great display by Terrence Crawford.
It was.
But it's also, it's good that in boxing they take two of the best guys and get them. Because you rarely see that in boxing.
They were talking about it like it was the next Hearns and Tommy Hearns and
Hagler.
Yes, but there was no exchange. It was completely one-sided.
Yeah,
it was completely
one-sided. The rounds that I saw was a wow. And this is not the Errol Spence I'm used to.
Bro. And I know the next big fight, I think, is one of the Charlo brothers against Canelo. I think they just announced that.
Yeah, what about the slap heard around the world? Did you see that? Yeah.
That was a punch. You mean the one, didn't Charlo punch Crawford or was it Spence?
No, we're talking about Caleb Plant.
Caleb Plant smacked one of the Charlo brothers.
Smacked Charlo.
Shit out.
Nobody punched him. I thought it was a punch.
I don't know which ones. I can never really tell which one's which.
Apparently, it was white boy day.
Yeah, guy. What's his name?
And he did nothing.
Handled it well.
Yeah. And a lot of people say he does it. When they're together, they're real bullies. But when they're not together, the Charlo brothers,
right,
they're not as tough as.
Hey man, I don't understand that. Yeah, I could get that. But you know, again, you don't want to mess up the bag. Is he the one that's fighting? Did he smack the one that's fighting Canelo?
I have no idea.
Because if he smacked the one that's fighting Canelo, of course you can't go back and forth. Because don't fuck up the bag that's on its way in. You know what I mean? Caleb Plant could go fuck himself compared to the payday that's coming.
What do you think of the term? Fumbling in the bag and all that stuff, Tim. You a fan of the bag?
Am I a fan of the bag?
Not the bag. You like bags?
I'm not a fan of
the term
street lingo crossing over into normal society.
Yeah, that happens all the time, though.
I know.
It's not just street lingo. It happens in all types of language. Things cross over.
Referring to money as the bag, I think, is silly.
Right.
Mm-hmm. What do you think?
There's plenty of words for money.
Yeah,
cash,
but people have been calling
money.
Yeah, but people have been calling it bread. They've been calling it dough.
That's what I mean. I think we have enough.
No, it's just another
bread, dough, cash. Each denomination has a name. Is you know what I mean?
Like what? What are you saying?
Like
what
a
hundo.
Hundo.
A hundo. A C note.
Yeah.
A yard.
A yard.
Yard's a good one, fam.
Yeah.
And that's an urban, let me say it so you understand it. I think that's an urban one. It might not be.
No, it's an old school fumble, yard.
Oh, see? Fumble old school, maybe it is. Yeah. You know what it is? Where I heard it first.
Gotcha.
I heard it under the context.
Well, let me say this.
Bag man. So it was you were a bag man.
It was
for
a bag
the,
man. Yeah.
Right. And you were not supposed to fumble that bag. This is where it comes from.
Right. That's what it is, man. It's just a colloquialism.
I don't mind
that's
some people
it's just a colloquialism.
Using those phrases. It's when other people use them.
It's co-opted.
When it's culturally appropriate, I don't.
Culturally appropriate or just appropriate in general? Like when someone's faking
culturally
it.
Appropriate or culturally appropriated?
Appropriated.
Okay.
Yeah, oh, you don't dig that?
I don't. I'm not a fan of that.
So like if you're, you know, walking the streets of Westchester and then like two dudes are like, yo, man, don't fumble the bag.
Yeah.
You
know I mean? Don't like that.
You don't like that.
But if I was walking the streets of Camden and okay. I heard that.
Which you've never done.
Finally.
But you know, many times in Kensington, definitely. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, man, it is what it is, fam. Fumbling the bag.
I don't like when people, there's a couple things that really bother me. People say dead ass.
Mm-hmm.
People say whole ass.
That's when people not from New York say dead ass.
Yo, bro.
I hate when anybody says dead ass.
That's how I feel.
Yeah.
You
have to be from one of the boroughs.
I'm just saying, man.
To say it.
Listen, but you know, again, we're men of a certain age, but that's annoying to me. That's annoying, and I don't know if it's the same similar idea to what you're saying, but when you're not from somewhere,
yeah, like I wouldn't want somebody from Ohio saying you, John.
You know what I mean? That's all, you know. Now, how do you feel about? But you, John is
John's fine.
Yeah, you've been using John for years. So, but that's I think that's.
I was against John when I was younger.
You were anti-John.
Yeah, anti-John.
I was anti-John. I didn't adopt John until. Probably my 30s. Yeah.
Ooh.
Adopted.
Ooh. Yeah. Adopted. I like that. I like
you
that.
Made it you, legit? Brought it in. Yeah. You legitimized you brought it.
In. It's yeah. what it is. So, but I feel that way about that. And I feel the same way about like hella. But now
hella,
that's changed.
Hella's annoying.
Hella's annoying. But hella, because that was like a West Coast type thing. Yeah. And when I heard it, you know, it came from up there. Like
I thought it was a contraction of hell of a.
I mean, I guess it is. You know? So, moving on to the UFC, man. Let's talk about it. Favorite fights? You want to hit the scroll through that if you want to?
Did you watch any of them?
I watched the main card. First, I did not see any of the undercard.
Got you.
Now, I don't think I saw any of the undercard.
This was Poirier
and Gaethje. Some fake belt.
So, okay.
Oh, yeah, the BMF.
Kevin Holland versus Chiesa.
Okay.
There was another, like you said, Crawford made Spence look bad. This is a fight where Holland made Chiesa look really bad.
It looked like Chiesa didn't want to be in the cage with him. The way he was running and backing up.
I've seen him fight like that before, but he just looked bad. He
looked scared.
Yeah, he had just come back from back surgery, they said, or neck surgery. So he's probably and he's been ready. Out for, I think, 2 years before that.
So that makes it looked like he could have fought out of that DARS a bit more, but the neck surgery thing makes a little bit more sense.
But he's been DARS, I think. Daniel Cormier kept saying, he's like, this guy's lost three times the same move.
Wow, really?
He was like, he's like, you got to work on something.
Hmm.
And then Ferguson and Bobby Green was awesome.
That was a really good fight. Bobby Green picked him apart. Every once in a while,
Tony Ferguson won the first round.
What was the,
I'm sorry, you know what? So I picked it up at the second round.
Okay. Was it decision in three? You know how you.
It was a submission. Put him
I'm asking you to do what I do when I do it. When I go, like this. You guys start talking about it. I go, submission, first round, 239. Yeah. That's how I go. So you either
third round.
Yeah, he. Put
I'm
him,
sorry,
he,
I was looking at this.
He choked him to sleep with like 5 seconds left.
He beat him up on the ground. Then he.
That's Bobby Green, and
he got Ferguson. A head and arm on him.
Wait, I thought Ferguson was done, fam. I thought last time he did some shit,
six
looked crazy.
In a row. But this fight,
he didn't look bad.
No, he.
I didn't see the first round, so I don't know.
He won the first round. He dropped Bobby Green and stunned him with a couple of shots, but you could see like they're two very awkward fighters. And it was like Bobby Green's better at picking apart guys that are more traditional. He eventually caught on to Ferguson.
Right, but Ferguson is awkward in a weird way.
Yeah.
That's what they were. Bobby Green is awkward in an effective way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Ferguson was effective for a long time.
Yeah, but Ferguson's awkward because he's weird and effective. Yeah. You don't know, he's just a weird fella.
And then he got put to sleep.
Gotcha.
So his last six fights, he's been lost decision. Whoop. Some vicious beatings and decisions. He's been submitted,
knocked out.
He's been put to sleep by punches and submissions. He's like lost all the things that he looked like impervious to for his like 12 fight win streak.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
He's just become like.
And that was the time where everyone thought he was the guy that could solve the riddle of Khabib.
Right.
And who knows? At the time, maybe he could have, but like.
But the way he fights, he aged himself dramatically.
Well, you know, they say athletes die twice, right? That's what they say. So moving forward, Derek Lewis and Lima.
That was
so
fucking
that
amazing.
That was KO,
flying,
first round.
Started the round off with a flying knee.
Who?
And it landed perfectly, just right on the guy's chin.
Derek Lewis.
Really?
Yeah, came bong.
You know, if you watch Derek Lewis's fights, he throws something like that in almost every fight. It's just usually from like 10 feet away. Like he misses by a huge amount normally. But he always throws some kind of like jump kick somewhere into one of his fights. And that was the first time it landed. It was awesome.
He holds the record now for most knockouts in the UFC.
Really?
He just let his contract run out, so I'm curious to see what happens.
This was the last fight on his contract.
On his contract.
Yeah. See, what they could do.
Do we think, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Is if his contract expires and they don't re-sign him, they could set up a match with him and Ngannou.
Boxing.
No, they should do an MMA. That would be PFL's best move. Would get Derek Lewis versus Ngannou.
After the Tyson Fury.
Even though it would be a rematch of like the worst fight in UFC history.
Yeah.
But
it wasn't really the worst fight in UFC history.
They didn't.
Yeah.
It was even worse than Seven versus Shamrock 2. Because those guys eventually
engaged.
Okay. But this one just, they didn't. I think Derek Lewis threw like one strike in the whole
fight. Gotcha.
That's what won him.
But that's what you think PFL should afterwards.
If Derek Lewis doesn't resign, I think that's the only fight people would be excited to see Ngannou in the PFL.
Any talk on that? Like, have they asked Dana about that? Has he said anything about?
I haven't really looked into it.
I'm assuming they'll re-sign Derek Lewis.
Because I'm assuming. He's a draw somewhere.
He's super popular.
He's a draw somewhere. So
he's draw everywhere.
If he didn't stay,
and then he takes his shorts off in the ring, does a whole dance.
It's great on Instagram. Really?
Yeah. It's funny.
Yeah.
Wow. Nice. Moving forward. Pereira and
Piera.
Piera. All right.
And Blachowicz.
Blachowicz. There we go.
What so first round, Blachowicz.
That was the third round.
The second and third round, Piera. Yeah. I was surprised. Now, I switched immediately to the the Spence Crawford fight because I was like, oh, this is going to be a unanimous decision for Piera. And then I come back and it was a split.
I was surprised that was a bit weird. But it was a cool fight. I enjoyed it, even though it wasn't the most exciting fight. It was still good. It was cool to see.
It was nice and tactical by Piera.
It was cool to see Piera come back from that early, like really getting like out grappled in the first and came back.
He did a really nice turn on the cage when he wrapped around the neck, and because Cormier was calling for him to go for the underhook, and he'd use the overhook neck grab to turn him. That was a slick.
It's cool
slick
to
move.
See. That's like a Muay Thai technique, and it's cool to see Muay Thai grappling being used against like wrestling grappling to get an advantage. It's really cool.
And it also looked as if Blachowicz was gassing out.
I was actually worried that.
But you might want to silence your phone,
please.
Yeah, I usually do have it silenced. He got brutally knocked out like a few months ago, so I thought it was a bad idea for him to be fighting this soon. But
that's his
he thing, was able right? to take. He never looked like he got hurt by any of the punches that. Blachowicz landed.
I couldn't see the swelling on Blachowicz's leg. Like they were, oh my God, his leg
like
was brutal.
Like an egg. Like
is that right?
Yeah.
Mm. Well, but Pereira, like his whole thing, like he comes from a fighting background, like constantly fighting, right? With the kickboxing and stuff like that. Like they don't have the same layoffs as some of the.
I'm not sure.
And he definitely looked fresher. Not having to do that massive weight cut.
Yeah,
and he still had to do a weight cut to get to 205.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
He's a big dude.
Moving forward, Poirier and Gaethje. What do we think? I mean,
about that was a fucking great knockout.
Yeah, it was a great fight.
Knockout, second round, 1 minute.
Head kick.
It was very competitive, but it looked like Gaethje was getting the better of most of the exchanges. And then he hit him with that kick in the first round. Poirier blocked it. And then the same thing. It was cool because they showed side by side. Usman getting knocked out by Edwards and Gaethje knocking out Poirier because it was the exact same technique. So they pulled it up and put it on the screen together. And it's like both guys fall the exact same way. The punch, it was just on opposite sides. Usman knocked him out with a left kick, or Edwards knocked Usman out with a left kick and Gaethje knocked Poirier out with the right. So that sets up a great rematch because they've both knocked each other out.
So a rubber match.
Rubber match, yeah.
Nice.
Nice. Also, a boxing match coming up is one of the Paul brothers. Which one is this one?
Oh, versus Diaz. Is that next week?
August 9th, I think, maybe?
I believe it is. He's fine. KSI. No, this is October 14th.
Oh, Logan.
Logan Paul.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Jake is fighting.
Nate Diaz, right?
Yeah, I'm not really interested in seeing him fight. Right. Unless he was fighting like...
It's just there. He's fighting
Mike Tyson or something.
Just so we...
They're business partners.
They are.
I thought they were out. I thought one was out of Prime.
Maybe.
I think the name of the event is Prime, actually. So, listen, man, the one thing these guys are good at seems to be making money, doing business, you know? So, shout out to those cats doing what they got to do. Moving forward, do you have a question? Oh, no, you know what I want to talk about?
Yes, this thing.
Marco, you put up the NBA player. Can you beat an NBA player?
Yeah.
Yo, how that was fucking awesome. Timmy, did you take a look at that?
I did.
If you want to elaborate on it.
It's just interesting when regular fans, even if they have a little bit of, you know, you play basketball in high school or maybe even in college, and they're talking junk on, I think his name is Brian Scalabrine.
Okay.
Not a great NBA player, but an NBA player nonetheless.
Right. Didn't they say he was like the worst NBA player in the league? Like,
yeah, technically,
he had like
right?
the least playing time or something?
Yes, he got a bunch of people, maybe three or four people to compete against him in one-on-one basketball, and he thrashed all of them.
All of them.
11-0, 11-2, 11-3,
crazy.
What have you.
Crazy.
And I think at the end he says, I'm closer to LeBron James than you are to me.
Yeah, and that's for the guys thinking that are criticizing him, thinking they can do what he's doing. And it happens, and everything.
Fans have the right to criticize, but don't think that you can go out there and deal with these guys.
That is one of my favorite things to hear.
I couldn't even beat a WNBA player.
I'm sure you couldn't, yeah. I couldn't either. I mean, by no stretch of the imagination. At the end of the day, they're professional athletes. So this is their job.
Exactly.
That's the kind of thing they do. And, you know, we need to keep it at that. Moving to questions real quick. Timmy, you have a question by any chance?
I have one. Do you want to read yours, Timmy? I have two of them. Are we?
You go ahead.
Sure. Question for the podcast. A little over a year ago, a student in my school received his BJJ black belt. A year later, current day, he received his first degree rank. During the ceremony, I spoke out and I advised the leading instructor that the first degree rank is given after 3 years, not one. I was told we'll address your concern after class. After class, head instructor sits me down and told me that prior to IBJJF, the first degree bar was awarded after the first year. He goes on to say the IBJJF changed it to 3 years later without consulting the quote-unquote red belts. Red belt schools associated with red belts, as my school is. Are giving their black belts their first degree a rebellion resistance to the IBJJF? Is this such a thing? I'm out of the social media and wanted to know if you guys heard of such a rebellion against the IBJJF.
Inside basis, seriously, inside jiu-jitsu. Yes, let's go.
Like jiu-jitsu.
I've never heard of a rebellion against the IBJJF.
I don't know if the outer planets are.
But there's no IBJJF, there's no... They don't do tournaments by how many stripes you have. So really, they should have no say on it.
Before you keep going, what's the criteria in general? Is this person accurate?
The accepted criteria that's put on Tim and I.
Yes.
Every 3 years, you're eligible to receive.
Okay.
It says that people get a little weird about the timetable. They think, I get it at three. No. You're eligible at three. Big difference.
Yeah, because if you're not in jiu-jitsu anymore, you shouldn't be getting.
Yeah, the time shouldn't be a big thing. So, I wonder if at this school they abide by certain IBJJF standards and rules, and then for this one they decide to do their own thing. So, all I would say is you need to be.
You know what school it is?
Not quite sure. I don't know the name of the school, but I know the person that sent this in. I haven't heard of any such rebellion, but I also have heard of people in the Gracie family promoting people to fourth and fifth degree when, quote unquote, they weren't technically eligible and not that big of a deal. I think Tim makes a huge point where the degrees from a competitive standpoint don't make that much of a difference.
Right.
They have a thing that I think sucks about the IBJJF is they have a rule where you have to be a certain time at each belt. So if you could win like brown belt world championships, if you're not, and then you get your black belt.
Right.
Like you have to be a certain amount of time at each belt. So it's like like 2 years before you can compete in the next belt.
Okay.
Level. So if you are a blue belt,
people checking
for a month,
the IBJJF does.
Oh, they do.
Yeah, because yeah. you have to
register with
you
them.
You have to register. Okay. Your,
gotcha.
Yeah.
So there's been that guy, Robert Daigle, the leg lock guy.
Yeah.
He had an issue. Like he was
Robert
promoted.
What?
Daigle or Diggle, I believe. Diggle.
Oh, I thought you said something else. I was going to, like, don't be offensive.
Oh, Daigle?
Pickle.
Why would you say Daigle?
Because that sounds like Daigle.
How's your day going?
It's yeah. terrible.
He is Italian.
He had an issue when he got his black belt because he hadn't been a brown belt long enough.
But the odd thing for that is he's an exclusively no-gi guy.
But he wanted to do no-gi.
No, I understand, but it's still just funny to me that the belt is important to a no-gi guy.
Like, sometimes when I'm teaching a technique in class, some people will ask, like, is this legal at white belt? And I'm like,
I have no idea.
Who cares?
Yeah.
Like, probably not, but we're not trying to be. There's no white belt submissions and black belt submissions. There's just submissions. So you learn it now.
Yep. You know. The dog is snoring,
yes.
right? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'm sorry.
So have I heard of this? No. Have I heard of people? Like, I don't think there is a current rebellion against the IBJJF. What I do think is certain people want it a certain way that's different from the IBJJF, and they're entitled to that. What I would say is that maybe it sounds like he said something during the ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, it's funny. It was funny.
Yeah,
that was an interesting thing. Yeah,
I wonder if there's any conflict. Hey, let's.
Didn't he say he pulled the guy aside, the instructor?
I had to. Yeah, so I want to. I'll get clarity because I could text the person that sent the. But during the ceremony, I spoke out. So it sounds like,
hey, wait,
or forever hold your peace, yeah. kind of deal.
Gotcha.
That. Maybe you do that. You speak out in private. You speak right. to the unless what he means is speak. He pulled the instructor to the side.
Has that ever happened to either one of you guys during one of your ceremonies? Of
somebody course? Spoke no. out.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
How I've had you, somebody Tim? Return a black belt, that's, but we know
about that. One. So,
but I don't think there's a huge rebellion. And if you're I don't think it's that big of a deal. If you given people pieces of tape at a year, 3 years.
What belt is this guy?
He's a black belt.
Okay.
But people have to understand that this kind of stuff has been happening in martial arts for many years. You know, some schools make decisions, instructors make decisions. Some organizations have criterias. Other organizations don't have criterias.
So like, it could be confusing, though, if you're at certain parts of your school abide by these standards and then other parts, they don't. And they're like, oh, what are you picking and choosing here?
Yeah.
Either we're in for a dime, we're in for a dollar.
Yeah. So I guess if you're aligned under a certain flag, then you do what they do.
I like the time, the minimum times that they have. I think it's good.
Right.
The only time that it does suck is like Tim pointed out when you're a brown belt world champion and you just got it and you still can't.
I actually don't like the times. I think it should be like there's no real time for any other belt. Why can't it be based on like merit?
Yes, there's time for all the belts.
Well, I'm.
There's a minimum time and rank per the IBJJF.
I don't go by IBJJF. So there is no time. Like if I give somebody a blue belt and they just
and a
wipe
day
the
later
floor
they
with everybody,
come back and you're like, oh my God, you're a purple belt.
That was possible,
right?
If I thought they were a purple belt, I'd give them a purple belt.
All right.
But I'm saying if they were 6 months or a year later, they go into an open tournament, submit like a bunch of black belts, I'd be like, well, you're probably a purple belt. Right. But that's unlikely. But it should be based on some form of merit, not just 3 years, you can get it now.
3 years, you're eligible, right?
Yeah, like you pointed out.
Jiu-jitsu is so subjective in a lot of, like, merit for you.
It could be, are you running a good school? Are you competing?
Who decides?
It could be,
who decides?
Your instructor.
Yeah,
right.
Your instructor decides, gotcha. Like, this guy deserves another degree, and maybe he deserves two. Like, it shouldn't be like, yeah, man, I want to give you a third, but I got to wait a few years.
Okay. I mean, I don't like
the times. I don't like it being based on time. I like it being based on merit.
Yeah. I like the time as part of the requirement.
Okay. Nice.
As
now,
part of the requirement.
You guys feel comfortable? Like, Marco, what's your rank? Like, you know, what's your rank? Your current rank?
Fourth degree black belt.
Okay. Timmy?
Fourth.
Okay.
I got mine before Tim.
Yes. And when do you?
I'm supposed to be fifth.
It's supposed to.
Oh, wait. But
you know what? I'm supposed to be a millionaire, but I'm not.
Yeah. I'm still trying to figure that out, too.
What do you mean?
You don't do nearly the work to be a millionaire. You don't do nearly the work
to be a millionaire.
Yeah. Everybody
has plenty of people, millionaires, that don't work.
So when are you? So are you eligible for the fifth currently?
I've been eligible for the fifth for a while. I think
Marco? Both of you guys?
No, it's impossible for him because it's based on your last promotion.
No, right. It's not.
Yeah, it is.
It's based on when you got your black belt.
No, it's not.
No, it's based on my understanding of martial arts in general, it's always based on the one right before.
Yeah,
based
on your prior promotion.
Yeah.
They held you back and didn't think you were ready, right? So
that's what it is.
Yeah.
Right. All right. Move. Question? We'll pick. Marco did his. Yeah. You got yours. Let's we'll do it that way. So
this is from my wife. My lovely wife.
Oh.
So she's writing, she's finishing up her book, and she has a
one of many books. What is this, number four?
This is five, I believe.
Book number five. There's a couple
of
novellas.
And her main character goes through sort of like a character arc of being like a rough and tumble street fighter to becoming like a real martial artist.
Oh, nice.
So she said, what is the point of martial arts? Self-defense, health, therapy? Is it an art? What's the main reason to do it?
Yes.
It's all those?
I think so. I think it's a spectrum.
What's the main reason?
You would ask every single person, just say, if you were to ask every single black belt that question, you're probably going to get...
Well, I'm asking you.
No, I understand, but I'm formulating this answer that it's my answer is right for me, but not for...
But your answer is right. Is right for the question. No, so what's the answer?
But... Your question is based on this arc of this character, and I don't know this character.
No, this is just what inspired the question. This isn't about, you haven't read the book, I haven't read the book. Yeah. We don't know. So what is your answer?
Wait, you don't read your wife's books?
Not yet. It's not out yet.
All right. So yeah, all of it.
So what's the answer? What's the main reason?
They're all the main reason. All equal.
It can't all be the main.
Yes, it can.
You have to pick one.
They can. She doesn't say that I have to pick one.
Yeah, she doesn't say
that. Well, she does say, what's the main reason to do it?
Yes.
That's funny because that's the one that doesn't have a question mark.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
That was more of a declarative statement.
Mm.
And since she's an accomplished writer, I'm going to take her for her grammatical.
Yeah, that's right.
That's it. Boom.
She can't take issue with us. She is a real stickler for punctuation.
Hey, listen, man. So how do you feel about it? You've had time to sit with this with these ideas. To Marco's point, it's not just that one thing.
No, it's overall self-improvement. It just starts with, the amazing reason to start is you want to learn how to fight.
Right. So safety is the first reason.
Yeah, I guess so.
But self-protection. Is the reason why you started the reason why you still do it today?
That's what I said. The reason why you start.
So, well, you didn't say it as eloquently as I said it. You just said it.
You didn't say anything. So you didn't answer the question. So
I think he started with yes, but go ahead.
The reason you start is
argue over your wife, okay?
So, and even when you're starting because you want to learn how to fight, you're trying to improve yourself in a singular area, but overall it'll improve your ability to fight, your health, could improve your mental health if you have issues with that.
Yeah.
Gives you a group of friends, community.
I think it makes you smarter.
The main reason after you is overall self-improvement.
Yes.
That's the you now.
But in the beginning, initially.
I want to learn how to fight.
So you describe, it's an arc.
I want to improve my ability to fight.
Right. It's an arc. So,
but if you had to pick one of these that she gave, self-defense, health, therapy, is it an art? Which would it be?
It would probably be health because that's the most broad way to kind of talk
mental,
about it.
Mental, physical.
Yeah. So is it an art? How do we feel about that question? Because these are questions that I've never posed to myself.
Right. Is it an art?
And you know what I mean? Like, I do feel like it is.
You know what the old saying is?
Mm,
in the eye of the beholder.
Yes. There it is. Timmy, is it an art?
Depends on who's doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it also depends on what part of the art it is. Art is subjective. Just
also, like, what it does for me, right? Like, I'm painting my, as Kobe Bryant once said, you know, I'm painting my beautiful picture.
I guess, I'm not
painting yours.
It there's different aspects to it. Like, there's the practical aspect, competitive aspect, and then there's the act of, like, just mastering something and trying to make it better.
Right. So, because in my opinion, martial arts has always been kind of a lifelong practice. Even if you don't physically, you can't do it as much as you want to.
Trying to make it like a beautiful technique. So like you can do a, you can grab somebody's face and like just crank it to try to get a choke, or you can like use timing and slip it in real nice and tight.
But the beauty part of that is like a catch wrestling guy looks at this. Oh man, look at that face crank was amazing. That, wasn't
it? Yeah, right? I was just thinking, I was just like, face crank's not that, but I didn't think about
there
it.
There are, it is, there
yeah,
are.
Yeah, there's a subset of people who are like, man, that fucking face.
I love,
the
I,
way you mangled his nose. Because
nice. I love smooth,
yes,
kind of
I mean.
Slick.
Me too.
You know what I mean? When I almost said something else after that. Smooth, I like it kind of smooth and kind of slick moves that are, you know, this, it's just technique heavy. Well, and just a the, great the execution.
Catch,
but
catch
I also
wrestling,
like a punch in the face.
The martial art of catch wrestling is different than the martial art
yes, of
jiu-jitsu. So it's two different forms of art. One's
right,
fine
like
painting.
Sculpting and oil paint, right?
Yeah.
They're
different both, mediums.
Yep.
Yes. That's a fascinating thing. I've never thought of it in that way, but that's a shout out to
so to answer you, if I had
Nikki.
To pick of those four that she gave, I would probably as well say health.
Yeah. That's the most broad.
I think as we age
through
from,
it, for
through
sure.
this, it transforms because as the limitations start to kind of get pinned on us one after the other. You know, you will think of it more in an artistic way, perhaps.
And going back to the question that we got earlier about the bureaucracy of it, don't worry so much about it.
You know, I felt like that should, I'm glad you said that.
Yeah don't be concerned with what other people are getting.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I understand you know, like maybe you like these standards and that kind of thing, but.
Yeah,
it's not your school.
You're not the one
let
in
them,
charge.
Yeah, let them
right.
run it however
yeah,
they
I was
want
at, so I was at a, martial arts. It was like an elevating. So these guys were all higher ranks, so like fifth degree, and there was a woman there, and she happened to be the head of the organization's wife. And one of the other guys was like, "You believe she's getting this? You know, going up to this rank?" And he had been around for a long time.
Right.
He was an accomplished martial artist, and I turned to him because. You know, her husband's the head of the organization. I said, you know, she spent a lot of time under sensei in a different way than you spent under sensei.
Right.
So I think she deserves it. And it was just like, and he goes like this. Good point. Yeah, you're right. Like, it was like, but at the end of the day, whatever someone does with their organization is what they do with
exactly.
their organization.
Yeah. Their school, so, their.
Yeah,
their
man, rules. Listen, don't be overly
and
concerned.
And I'm very rules, aren't you? You want to do 1 year? Fine, go for it. It's not my business.
Right. Moving forward, the next question.
We have Plyler's Corner.
Oh, nice.
Greetings, gentlemen. I've heard the expression, jiu-jitsu saved my life, used to mean many different things. Recently, I met someone who used to be badly addicted to drugs and credits jiu-jitsu with his recovery. He said he replaced his one addiction for another, but at least this one, jiu-jitsu, won't kill him. Have you ever met someone who used jiu-jitsu to help overcome either drug addiction or something similar?
Timmy.
I can't think of anybody that I know that's used jiu-jitsu to overcome an addiction. I know a lot of people that have done jiu-jitsu that have become addicts of different things. But that's cheesy to say saved my life. Like,
yeah, but people say that.
You could say, you can credit it with fixing your life or changing your life, but
they
not.
Believe that it saved their lives, and that's what they believe.
Yeah.
So
I guess it's,
and you have heard it.
Yeah, I've heard it. It's a cliche.
It's a cliche because I've heard this dog has saved my life, this job has saved my life,
and
this
most
woman
of the
is,
time
man.
You hear that from people that haven't had a lot of experience in this, right? Like at a
or
certain
a lot
point,
of adversity,
right? what I think they really mean is because this stuff was already there. Right, you can't beat an addiction unless you have the capacity to beat it.
Yeah.
So jiu-jitsu helped me evolve my life.
Right.
Right into who I currently have become.
I think it's a real thing, though, having to replace one for the other. Because I see that in many different ways. Like, I see that in religiosity from time to time.
What?
Being religious. Oh. Like, I'll see people... Religiosity. So, you'll see people...
I just went to write to Caligulosity.
No, it was religiosity. So, you'll see people that will... You know, the church ends up helping them, so they go deeper into that, and it fills the... Whatever void they have, it helps fill it. So,
but they inherently had some capacity to make that transformation.
Yeah. No,
right?
And, yeah, you're 100% right. Yes.
How do you pronounce that again?
Religiosity?
Religiosity.
Come on, man.
Help them through that process.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
But had they found something else, this something else would have hopefully
it could have. It could have. Right? But people, we'll it seems know. Like people have to, you know,
then
like you
find
have
the
to,
thing that resonates.
Yeah, definitely. That's the best way to put it.
Second part of this question. Also, jiu-jitsu creates strong friendships to where most of my friends train. The few that don't, I have known since high school. How many friends that you met in high school or earlier are you still good friends with today? Thank you for your time. Keep up the great work. Best regards, Stephen Platt.
Yeah. One of my best friends we met in the fourth grade. My first time in the fourth grade. I had to.
So good. So you liked it so much?
I went twice. Yeah. I went second time. But I've known him. And actually, I know. Well, no. But my shout out to Super Buick. We've known each other since the fourth grade. So, you know, and I know a bunch of other guys from childhood.
Like, and you're still very close with them?
I'm definitely very close with him. Not as much with some of the other guys, but we're still all relatively close. But he's the one, you know, he's kind of like the outlier. And so how about you, Timmy?
I don't really like, I do have one friend from fourth grade, but it's Brad Court. So he trains jiu-jitsu. So
yeah, nice.
That's kind of like, we were friends since like fourth grade, and then we got into jiu-jitsu when we were in like.
Did you get you guys like as tight as you are now coming up from fourth grade, yeah. Or did jiu-jitsu make you guys tighter?
No, I mean, I guess we hung out more because we were training together more. But mm-hmm. Now we were like best friends for years, you know. Then I have one other guy. I guess I would call him a friend from high school. I never talked to him or hang out with him or anything, but I think he was at my wedding. I don't really remember.
Okay. That close.
that's what I'm saying.
Man, like, whatever
he's the only other guy
in
high school that like
that you might call a friend.
I might talk to.
Okay, yeah. Nice. Marco, what about you?
Yeah, I have three. I used to use the term best friend. Right. I've stopped using that a while back because yeah. I think it diminishes and it's also
I was thinking about that.
Infantile.
I think it's maybe. All contextual.
Okay.
Depending on what situation you're in, who your best friend is.
So I use dear friend, and I have three very dear friends from.
Who's the most dear?
He doesn't use most.
Yeah, exactly. I just use dear. Three friends that
I like the term old friends.
Yeah. From the seventh grade, and we're still very close today. Yeah. That's one of the things from a friends group standpoint, super proud that I've been friends with these guys since I guess 12 years old.
And do those guys train? No.
One did. Another one came and trained here for a short amount of time. And the third one, I think he did Jeet Kune Do for a little while, but never. But the first one got me started.
Right.
They're friends that I'm, you know, still very dear to this day. The other one did some Muay Thai and yeah, they're just, this is awesome dudes.
Yeah. I growing up since I started karate when I was younger. So none of my friends did anything. They, you know, I wrestled in high school. Like they didn't do anything. And then I had one friend who got into karate later on, got his black belt. But we might have trained together once or twice. We didn't train the same organization.
I'm sorry, I forgot. I do have one more. Okay. I forgot about him.
Oh man.
He was a guy that we were in the same high school, but he also started training with us a little bit. That's how we became friends, was from training. But I still have a group chat with him. Like, you know, we still keep in contact. So I have another one.
You want to say his name?
You know,
nah,
Christian.
Oh yeah, yeah, bad. Christian.
Bad. He was my original manager for MMA.
Really? And he was Pawtucket Pete.
Was that the guy that jumping
the
around?
Bell
and oh no, he was the he was Pawtucket Paul Revere. He was the
that Paul. Oh, that's what that was. Paul Revere. Nice. Moving forward, I want to shout out my man Super Buick. They got a little loss in the family. Shout out to Chloe, their little dog, 16 years old.
Mm. Nice run for Chloe.
She had a good run, fam. Yeah. She was a trusty steed, like one of those little tiny ones. Mm. You know what I mean? I don't know exactly what it wasn't like a Chihuahua. I don't know exactly what kind of mix, but they had a loss and I stepped.
Yeah, those dogs live a long time.
Yeah, man, and you know little she was a good girl. Yeah. She was a good girl, and you know, shout out to them and the fam. They were. You know, it wasn't received well, of course, as it shouldn't have. But they had a tough time with it.
Rest in power.
So I hate when people do that. You know what I mean? It's not a laughing matter, my G. But to your point, rest in power, Chloe.
It's like the whole bag thing. It's a nice
no, I like
bag.
Rest in power, especially for.
You haven't like appropriated it? Because your people
I've adopted it.
Your people.
Well, maybe I guess some of your people might use power and.
Different type. Rest in. Whispering power. No, Margo, did you want to talk about the thing?
Oh, yeah, we got approached by another sponsor.
Let's talk about it. Sponsorships out the wazoo. On us, Playboy.
Yeah,
they're on us.
Yeah. So I got back to the people from AG1, but they haven't.
Okay.
So Ninja.
Here we go.
We're recruiting ambassadors to join the Alter Ego Fitness family.
Woo!
If you want to apply, just reply back to us here in the IG with the following details: age, years lifting, city you live in, type of training you do. Right. So my reply was ninjas never age.
That's a lot of numbers.
Yeah, it's pi. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. It's pi to the 10th degree or whatever, right there in human years. So it's billions of years old.
I forgot. I read this and I'm reading it again. So
right, we're a citizen of Camden Prefecture.
That's right.
But I cannot be constrained by a physical address.
Yeah.
And the type of training we do, ninjutsu.
There we go.
Yeah.
On top of it, fam. You met the criteria.
Yeah. Hopefully we'll get a response.
You love fucking with people.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Because it's all, they had some sort of AI generated that sent us that.
Is that what it?
Yeah. Nice.
There we go.
Real.
Margo, what's for dinner?
Burgers.
Yeah, from where?
Home, making myself.
You just Aldi. Caught him off guard. Yeah. Tell me, what about you?
Burgers.
Yeah, you making burgers too?
Come on, bro. You're not making burgers. You're not making burgers.
You're buying them?
What, you going to, didn't you do that last week?
I think I did, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it again.
Nice. Yo, did you ever
get
around?
I might get a
the square pie?
Actually, might do a cheeseburger hoagie. Ever have one of them?
Ooh. I think I did at the White House in
cheeseburger,
AC.
Sounds like a chopped cheese, but go ahead.
No. So the one I had, well, how do they produce this? This weird
thing. It's usually 2 to 3 burgers cut in half put in the bun, mayo, lettuce, tomato, ketchup, fried onions. It's good. It's just a burger in a different form.
Right.
Plus it has, I think the addition of mayo is really what
I had for. One at the White House in Atlantic City, legendary White House, great sandwich joint. And they make the patty kind of flat and long. Yeah. And they put it on the whole. It was delicious, man. It was probably one of the best burgers I've ever had.
I was extremely disappointed in the White House when I went.
Hey, man.
I got a cheesesteak. It was like worst cheesesteak I've ever had.
Wait, was it the one on the street? Because there used to be one inside the casino.
No, it was on the street. Okay. It was on the street.
Because I don't vouch for the one that was in the casino. The one on the street is fire, fam. So, yeah, maybe it was just
the meat was just super chewy, tough.
No. When I ordered the cheeseburger, and the woman said, hey, it's going to take a certain time. We make it fresh. And I said, bet. And it was
nice. So they made like a long.
Mm-hmm. It was fire. It was fire.
So cheeseburger hoagie.
Cheeseburger hoagie.
Where are you going to order that from?
I got to find it on DoorDash. I don't know the name of the place.
Right.
I just go back through my old orders, see what I...
When are you going to hit Square Pie?
That's a good question. Yeah. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But I want to, though.
Bro, I'm telling you, I walked in there on Wednesday or whatever it was I went in. It was basically empty.
So Square Pie is not Santucci Square Pie. It's just Square Pie.
It's called Square Pie.
It's where Cochon was. I was sitting there thinking about you
because
we had dinner. Yeah. We had dinner there before, and I was sitting about thinking about that time me, you, and Bob had dinner there.
Bobby hated Square Pie.
Yeah, it was Cochon when we went in there because Square Pie was across.
No, but we would talk about pizza at Square Pie.
Yeah, he didn't
like it. What was the pizza place right across the street from his house? That place was good.
The Quattro Formage.
Yeah.
Nomad.
Nomad. Nomad
pizza was really good.
I don't know if it was really good. It was
vegan.
It was
really good.
Huh?
No.
Okay.
They had, no, because he got the fortune.
I got a
it was Neapolitan, which I could, like I could take it or leave it. So, but Square Pie was really good. I had a really good stuff.
What's dinner for you?
I've gone too hard though. I've been eating.
How's your gut?
I had it's my feet are swollen. I had a tuna hoagie with bacon on it yesterday. Mm. It was a Saturday, whenever that
a little
was.
Surf and turf.
You know what it is, son.
From where?
It's a place around here called Meadowbrook Deli.
It's
a good one.
People swear by Meadowbrook.
I think it's called Deepak Pasquale or something like that. Like it's something.
Pasquale?
Something. Hey man, I don't know. I don't know how to deal with these ethnic names. So, but
peace.